Sports.
Here's Bonino, a shot, and the score.
Getting you ready for New Year's Day at the Cotton Bowl.
And a miraculous stop by Pecorino.
Sponsored by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service. We are Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
That's right. Welcome in. It is the road to Dallas, the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service. Chase McCabe alongside Ryan Porth, hanging out with you. And one of our favorites, a guy that we like to talk to a lot with the Dallas Stars, Mike Hajka, is on the line with us. Mike, how's it going?
Going good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're ready for January 1st. I know there's a handful of games left for both the Stars and the Predators before they do battle at the Cotton Bowl, but we wanted to have you on to just kind of get the perspective of leading up to this big event. Obviously, a lot has happened with the Dallas Stars as of late. Let's start with the coaching change. I know that there are circumstances that we don't know about with Jim Montgomery and what led to his firing, but how shocked were you when everything went down?
Oh, very shocked. It's funny. We had a practice on Monday, and it was one of the more jovial interactions between the media and Jim Montgomery. And so we were just like, okay, everything's good. Let's move ahead. And they had a game on Tuesday, and we walk in Tuesday, and, you know, bang, he's been fired. Rick Bonus has been moved to head coach. Derek Laxfield's been called up from the AHL. So it was shocking, and we still don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know when that's all going to figure itself out. But the good thing, I guess, for the Stars is that Rick Bonus, John Stevens, and Todd Nelson were all on the same page with Jim Montgomery. And so, you know, this was Montgomery's second year, and they pretty much had gotten everything going to a place where the players knew what they were supposed to do. And they actually, the first couple of games, they just went on remote control, and it worked out really well. And now I think we're starting to see a little bit of Rick Bonus has had to go from running a defense to running the forward group, which is something he hadn't done for 16 years. And so I think there could be some growing pains in that department. But, you know, they're trudging forward and trying to win games.
It does seem, and we saw him a few weeks ago here in Nashville against the Predators. They won that game. Obviously, it was pretty much Dallas Stars, especially in that second period. But it does seem like they haven't really missed a beat, that the systems are pretty much the same. Nothing really has changed too dramatically with Rick Bonus as head coach.
Yeah, and they also, I believe, have the best goaltending duo in the NHL, and that just helps everything. So they had a game in Tampa Bay where they were just shredded, but Anton Khudobin won the game in overtime. And so, you know, we always talk about this Ken Hitchcock, Dave Tippett, Jim Montgomery. It's a lot easier to teach players when they're winning because they don't feel like they're on the defensive. They don't feel as stressed. And so by having these goalies back there to clean up all these messes, I do think it helps make the team, you know, one, be a little bit more calm, and two, get into what their identity is a little bit easier because, you know, they're not sitting there going like, well, if you don't win this game, you're going to miss the playoffs. They're sitting there with a great couple of goaltenders every night, and that keeps them in pretty much every game.
Mike Hajka is with us here on the road to Dallas, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Mike, for anyone listening that may not be following the Dallas Stars closely this season, they may just look at the standings, look at their record, and say, okay, 20-12-4, they're having a solid season. But really, since the end of October, this team has really taken off. They're 19-5-3 since a tough 9-game start to the season. What changed, there in late October to allow the Stars to really take off?
I think they kind of started to deal with the stress a little bit better. They were given a lot of preseason pub as a team that might could win the Stanley Cup. And I think that kind of got to them. They did not really handle it well. They started out against Boston on opening night, played a good game, lost. Went to St. Louis the game after that, played a good game, lost. And now you're down, you know, you're 0-2 and whatever. And I think they went to Detroit after that and lost that game too, after they had led like 2-0 in that game. And so it just was one disappointment after the other, and it started to get into their heads. And so they finally worked their way out of it. The other thing that was interesting is they played 7 of their first 10 games over a stretch of 17 days. 7 on the road, 3 at home. So, you know, that was hard in the, you know, at the time. But once they got through, they won the last game of a road trip in Philadelphia. They came home, I think, for five or six in a row at home, and it really helped them. They got a little bit more practice time. They started to buy into what, you know, Jim Montgomery and Rick Bonus were selling, and started to play really good defensive hockey. And that's been it since then. I mean, they really dedicate themselves. They're number one in the league in goals against and save percentage. They're 26th or 27th in scoring, and that's kind of just who they are. They're basically trying to win 2-1 games every night.
There are two obvious new faces on this Stars team since last postseason, Corey Perry and Joe Pavelski. How do you assess how those two have fed into the lineup?
It's been a transition, and I think you see, because both of them, or each of them, played their entire career with one team, it's not been the easiest thing in the world. Joe Pavelski's playing his 1,000th game in Florida, and it's great. I think everybody's excited about it, but most of his memories have come with the San Jose Sharks. And so now he's trying to build new memories, and it's a process. I mean, it just takes time. And then Corey Perry, the same thing. The other thing with Corey is he came off an injury last year. And then Joe is basically playing 16, 18 minutes on the second line. Corey's playing 11, on the fourth line usually. So just the opportunity to score points was, you know, which is what he does, is not there as much as it is for Joe. And the other interesting thing, I think, what people are hoping for is that as they go through this season, they'll both transition into becoming Dallas Stars players. And then when the playoffs come, if they come, I think the Stars are, you know, pretty hopeful that they'll be in the playoffs, that they'll be getting the best of Joe Pavelski and Corey Perry. And you know, maybe some of the, you know, timely goals that they need will come from those two veterans.
We're talking to Mike Hajka of the Dallas Stars, and a player that I kind of started watching during the playoffs against the Predators last year, Roope Hintz. And I know that Jim Montgomery was high on him, and he seems to have a very important spot in the lineup. But I know he's young. He's only 23 years old, still developing as a player. What have you seen out of him?
Well, it's funny. He's the fastest player on the team, I believe. I mean, I guess if you wanted to put him up against Miro Heiskanen in a race, then we'd see there. But he is clearly the fastest forward. He's also the biggest forward because he goes about 6'2", 6'3", 220 pounds. And so you combine those two things with the fact he's got a really nice shot. And it's not difficult to see why he could be one of the great players. The good thing and the challenging thing about him is that he buys into the Jim Montgomery way of doing things of 40-second shifts or less. And so he has to get his stuff done quickly because he burns himself out because he goes 100 miles an hour every shift he's on the ice. And so he'll average the lowest time on ice per shift. And then so then you have to try and get him out there for more shifts so that you can use him well. I think the other night he played 10 or 11 minutes because he just gets on and gets off quickly. And they only had one power play. So he's an interesting guy. I think his potential to be even greater is very high. And that's the cool thing about, you know, watching Roope Hintz. When you see him at his best, he looks like one of the best players in the NHL. I think he's got 12 goals, clearly leads the team in scoring, and they're hoping he can be even better.
Another player that I wanted to ask you about, one of the last moves that Jim Montgomery made was he actually made Alexander Radulov a healthy scratch. To, I guess, send a message. Well, do you think that Radulov got that message?
Yes, definitely. Alex is interesting in that he does his own thing. And so back in the day, the Stars had Brett Hull, and the thought process was because Brett Hull does what he does, he gets a little bit of leeway. And I think Radulov is the same way. If you watch practices, oftentimes he won't be doing the drill he's supposed to be doing. If you watch warm-ups, he goes about it differently than every other player on the team. He'll start in the corner and move himself around. And
yeah, we don't know anything about that with him.
Oh, I know you guys. but what's been interesting is that like with Brett Hull, and obviously people complained about Brett Hull back in the day, the organization has an understanding that, you know, we're going to let you push the boundaries because we love what you do, but we're going to have to reel you in every now and then. And that was the healthy scratch. They had to reel him in. He was taking way too many penalties at the time. He was tied for the league lead with 15 minors. And that's just, you can't do that, especially in a, on a team that wants to win games 2-1. I think the healthy scratch came right after a game in Minnesota where they were winning 2-1 with like 4 minutes left. He took a penalty. Minnesota scored, then won in the shootout. And you're just like, all you have to do is just, you know, play smart hockey for the last 4 minutes. We're walking out of here with a win. And so I think that frustrated them. But they scratch him. The next six games, he gets a point and has played really well. He had two penalties the other night, but up until then he had none. So he clearly gets the message when it's being sent to him, and that's why they're fine with it. And I think actually Radulov's fine with it. He understands that, you know, he's allowed to do a lot of things that he wouldn't be allowed to do on other teams, but he also has to toe the line every now and then. And so it's a balance of trying to work it out. Like I said, they're the 27th scoring team in the league. They got to do something to get more goals, and Alexander Radulov is part of that something.
We're going to step aside for just a second. We'll have more with Mike Hajka of the Dallas Stars. It is the road to Dallas, the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic, brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in the road to Dallas, the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth hanging out with you, brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service. We are chatting with Mike Hajka of the Dallas Stars. Ryan, the floor is yours.
Mike, let's take a look at the Winter Classic, this event itself coming up. I know there's a lot of buzz here in Nashville. Upwards of possibly 30,000 people from Nashville are going to be traveling to Dallas for this game. What's the buzz like down there in Big D?
It's been good. You know, they have the Cowboys, and so that pretty much takes all the energy. They also have Luka Doncic, who might well be the MVP of the NBA early on. And that's taken up a lot of oxygen, too. But this is going to be a good event. Brad Alberts has done a really good job. He's taken over as president of the team in the last 2 years, I think it was. Jim Leitz is still there, but Brad Alberts does the day-to-day stuff. And he's has this really positive energy of, why not us? Why not the Dallas Stars? And so, you know, while, you know, we're in the media going like, well, could they play at Minnesota for an outdoor game? Could they play at Chicago for an outdoor game? He comes in and says, well, why can't we hold our own? And then we're like, okay, well, maybe they could get one of those February games. He goes, no, why can't we have the Winter Classic? And we're like, yeah, right. And then he does it. He goes to the league and says, hey, how about this Cotton Bowl? Wouldn't that be fun? It's an old building. It could be exciting. And then, you know, I think the league bought in with the two teams who've never been in it before, two teams to kind of share a similar, you know, vibe in their towns with a Western type theme, and it's all come together really well. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be different. And I know some people, you know, get upset that it's all Western cowboy type stuff, but I like it. It's going to be completely different than any other Winter Classic. And I think the city of Dallas is going to show up pretty big.
What's kind of your perspective on two new markets entering this foray by the NHL, this Winter Classic, this premier regular season event that they're putting on, and you've got the Stars and the Preds, two new teams joining the fray this winter?
I like it. I mean, the Stars, and this is another big, you know, trumpet for Brad Alberts, the Stars have gone from 10,000 people in the building to pretty much sold out every night. And, you know, I think that's great. I was there back in the day in 98 and 99 when hockey was the biggest selling team in town. And I think it can, you know, get to that point again if they win. And then I think the rivalry with the Predators, especially fueled by the playoffs last year, that's been great. Get more animosity between the two fan bases, get more excitement out there and you know, bring some attention to the Sun Belt teams or the, you know, non-traditional hockey markets. And because that really is a lot of what the United States is. I think you guys have seen it. Mm-hmm. Youth leagues, adult leagues, people skate and play hockey in Nashville and Dallas, Texas. And I think that's pretty cool.
You mentioned the rivalry between the two teams, the, I guess you could say, budding rivalry, especially after they faced off in the postseason last year. I don't think many people around the nation tuning in on New Year's Day are really going to understand the budding rivalry between the Preds and the Stars. From a Dallas perspective, Mike, how would you kind of maybe rate where the Preds lie amongst rivals within the Stars organization?
Well, I think a lot of it, one, because of the playoffs, and two, because of the Winter Classic. They're probably number one right now. You know, fans still hate the Red Wings just because I think everybody hates the Red Wings.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
And they're not real big on Chicago either, because Chicago can take over the arena on any given night. But I think it's really building with Nashville. And I think the fact that, you know, I think the Nashville crowd is an aggressive crowd. Anytime you see that, I think the Stars crowd is going to feel challenged and say, well, if you're going to be mean, well, we're going to be even meaner. And, you know, that's just part of sports. And I think it can be fun for the rivalry.
I think, too, Mike, number one, I'm going to push back on Ryan a little bit. I don't think it's a budding rivalry. I think this has been a rivalry for a while, even before they met in the playoffs, because I can remember some of the matchups in the mid to late 2000s between sure. these two teams. Things would get physical.
I mean,
things would get chippy.
The Jordan 2-2 Stefan Robidas.
Yep.
Yep.
Incident.
Modano, I think, got knocked down in one of the games, and then Stars fans got pretty upset about that.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, I agree with you. It's been building for a while. And again, I think they're two similar marketplaces where fans kind of understand, you know, how hard it is to have their team. There's always that, you know, well, they don't care about the Stars, or they don't care about the Predators, you know, on national television or whatever it may be. But I think when you guys went to the Stanley Cup Finals, everybody saw what a great sports city that is. And then, you know, I think Dallas is also a great sports city, so it should be fun.
I do some comparisons sometimes because, and we've talked to Sean Henry, the Predators president, several times. We have the what they call the Ford Ice Centers here in town that are hockey rinks, you know, for youth hockey and, you know, people that are wanting to learn the sport and have sheets of ice to skate on. I'd use the comparison a lot to Dallas because I have family in that area. I've been to, I think they're called the Dr. Pepper Centers that the Stars had been behind and to help build hockey around the city. And so I think you kind of look at both markets, and that's where you can draw some comparisons because they've kind of done it the same way.
Yeah, Jim Leitz, I think, was really good about that. He came from Detroit, and you know we're all sitting there going like, well, you played on the ponds up there, right? And you're like, no, our youth leagues play in indoor rinks, and you if you're going to do this, you need these. And so he was really good back in 93 and that, you know, they started building them quite quickly in all the suburbs and really allowed, like you said, both adult leagues and kids leagues to start up. They had a huge tournament here. It was either last winter or the winter before that was, you know, one of the biggest youth tournaments in the United States. And to have that in Dallas, Texas, that's a pretty cool thing.
Mike, when we look at the Stars Winter Classic jersey, what's kind of the story behind how it was all formulated behind the scenes with the Stars there?
They put a lot of thought into it. The Dallas Texans were a team back in the day, and they actually have a pretty good history of hockey in Dallas, just like I think they do in Nashville, where they had two of the NHL affiliates here. And so they did very well. So they basically took the logo, modernized it, and then put it with the Victory Green. Back in the day, the Texans were red. So that doesn't match up, but I think everything's gone well. And then they went with the pants and the gloves and everything else in an old-fashioned style with kind of a leathery look to them. So it's going to be a very old-fashioned-looking uniform. But people are already wearing them at the arena, and the jersey itself, like I said, just with jeans or whatever, it looks great. And we were in Nashville, and I love yours. I think it's, you know, you sit there and see it online, and it's one thing, but then you walk into the arena and see people wearing it, and you're going like, well, that looks sharp. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about all of that stuff for the fans.
Yeah, it's going to be a good-looking game.
Yeah. He is Mike Hajka of the Dallas Stars. So as we wrap this up, you saw the matchup against Nashville. That's the first time that they've met this year. It was all Dallas, a rough second period for the Nashville Predators. But since that game, because you had a lot of the Predators players saying they were embarrassed, they didn't like how they played. Peter Laviolette obviously didn't like how they played. How do you see this shaking out on January 1st when these two teams meet again?
What's been funny about the NHL this year is the streaks. So, you know, the Stars start out 1-7-1 and then go on 11-1-1 or whatever. I think Nashville's been similar. I just don't know. I mean, until you get out there and see what they've been doing, it's going to be interesting because, like I said, the Stars want to play a certain way. They want to make it hard for you to create offense. But they went up against Tampa the other night, and Tampa was fantastic, you know, created all sorts of scoring chances. So when they're on their game, they're really good. When they're not on their game, they're not very good. And I think Nashville could be the same way. It's kind of what the NHL has been this year. And so on any given night, you can play your best game, and on any given night, you can play a really crummy game. I'm hoping they both play a great game. You know, we've seen it in the past before, you know, especially in some of the playoff games last year where both teams played really well and it came down to the end and it was, you know, a 3-2 or 2-1 game. I really wouldn't mind a 6-5 game too, but it'll be interesting to see. And then, of course, what's the ice surface like? What's the, you know, how do goalies react to, you know, playing in the middle of the day and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be really fun watching it.
That's for sure. Hopefully it'll be a lot of fun. I mean, look, it's a Central Division matchup, so the points matter. I mean, it's not just another game. It's a big game for both teams as they vie for position. Hey, Mike, we appreciate it as always. We look forward to seeing you. We're going to be down in Dallas, so thanks for doing this.
No problem. It's always fun.
Appreciate Mike Hajka, as always, of the Dallas Stars. So when we come back, Ryan and I are probably going to argue because we do that a lot about rivalries especially. We will discuss that next. The road to Dallas, the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic, brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Sudden Service, and Firestone, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, we are back here on the road to Dallas, the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic. Chase McKay, Ryan Porth hanging out, all brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service. So you and I wanted to hit on something that came up during our interview with Mike Hajka.
Mm-hmm.
You call this a budding rivalry based upon the playoffs last year.
Sure.
I think it's been a rivalry for a while.
Okay, so you're the guy who always says it's that rivalries are overblown, that we use the term rivalry too loosely sometimes.
Yep.
All right, you've been big on that.
Yep.
Over the years. Then why make the case why Preds Stars is a current rivalry and not a budding rivalry?
Okay. So I knew you were going to, this is where you were going to go. I knew you were going to bring that out. I do think rivalries exist. So let me just go ahead and say that. I do believe that rivalries actually exist. I just don't think you have to, every time a team meets another team in the playoffs, oh, there we go. There's a budding rivalry. Yeah, there. And Winnipeg, oh, yeah, we hate them. Like Anaheim, okay, yeah, everybody hates Anaheim. They've met three times in the playoffs, and every time they meet during the regular season, it's a slugfest. So that is a rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to the Dallas Stars. I can remember it vividly. It was like 3 days after Christmas, 2008 probably, and I took my cousin to the game. We're sitting in the upper level. They're playing the Dallas Stars, and it was a slugfest. I mean, they were hitting each other. That was around the time that you had, I guess, the robot eye thing had happened a few years before. Tutu actually wasn't in that game. That's when he had gone into the rehabilitation program with the NHL. So he actually wasn't playing. But I just remember that being a chippy game. And since that point, anytime I went to a game against the Dallas Stars, there was always just another level, this feeling in the building. And so I looked at it as a rivalry. And then I think it escalated even more, even as the teams changed. But last year, when they met in the playoffs, I think you can add to it. So I think there are different levels of rivalries. Obviously, Chicago is one. Detroit used to be. You have Anaheim now. I mean, but I think Dallas has always kind of had a little something to it, and it's just gotten even better. And you're going to add more to it come January 1st.
See, I don't even view Dallas from a Predators perspective. I don't even view Dallas within the current top 3 to 5 rivals.
Okay, give me your five then.
Anaheim on the ice is number one.
Yes.
And it may take a while for that to
go
away.
I don't think it's going away.
There is still history there.
Yeah. I mean,
when they smoked Anaheim earlier this season, you could tell after the game in the locker room that rivalry was still sitting within them. So I would say Anaheim is number one. I would say St. Louis is absolutely up there. I would say Chicago.
I'd say Chicago is number two.
I think Winnipeg is there because of the playoff battle that they had two seasons ago and how many top-level battles that they have had when both teams have been at the top of their game in terms of right up there in the Central Division.
Yeah, but see,
see,
that's
I
the one I'm going to argue.
I would put Dallas over Colorado.
Yeah. Colorado's not a rival.
Colorado was your prime example right. of what I brought up at the beginning of the segment.
Just because they're in the same division and met in one playoff series that was a fun playoff series doesn't make it a rivalry. I will say that Winnipeg, you can put in there. I think Dallas. I'll put Dallas ahead of Winnipeg.
Would you?
I just will. Yeah. I like it, but I need to see them meet again for something that's going to matter. Like, well, it could be regular season games, just fighting for points, fighting for positions in the Central Division.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a playoff series helps in anything. St. Louis, I'll agree. And St. Louis has been in the same division with the Preds since they got in. So I think that's been one for a while. It was nice to see them finally meet in the playoffs. I mean,
Would you think of Dallas any differently if they weren't playing in the Winter Classic?
No, that's my point. I have always looked at Dallas as just a team that as a fan I don't like and that the Predators don't like. I think to the point that we brought up with Mike Hajka that there are some similarities between the markets.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas obviously bigger than Nashville, but you know, non-traditional. You have the Ford Ice Centers that, I mean, Sean has said that before. That's a model they looked at of how Dallas has done it. So I think there are similarities. There's some respect there. But, yeah, I don't think the Winter Classic changes anything from the fact of that I already thought it was a rivalry. I think it adds to it.
It adds fuel to it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
It's been a pretty steady build throughout the calendar year of 2019, ever since, you know, 9-10 months ago it was unveiled that it would be Pred Stars in the Winter Classic, and here we are on the doorstep of that game happening. And I have to think that NBC loved it when the playoff matchups came out back in April, and they saw the Preds and Stars were going to play each other in the first round, and that was a natural connection between these two teams for their big regular season event.
It was a prelude to it. Now, here's another team that I have heard some Preds fans say this is a rivalry, and I want to just scream anytime I hear this.
Who?
The Pittsburgh Penguins.
Because of the Stanley Cup
Because they met in the Stanley Cup final. You play them twice a year. Now, I understand. There's still some hatred. You still don't like them. That's fine. You're allowed to feel that way. That doesn't make it a rivalry. It just makes it a game that you're pissed off for greatness for. Well, that's how I look at it.
They're playing a home-and-home coming up.
I know.
On back-to-back nights.
I know. And there'll be some really good games
it's
against
gonna
those.
It's going to feel like a rivalry.
It can feel like the playoffs and not be a rivalry. They met in the state. Now, if they do it again, okay, then maybe you can add to that. Maybe you can make the case. The first time they met after the Stanley Cup final, sure, you're still mad. You still want to get some revenge. That doesn't make it a rivalry. That just means it's a fun game.
I would agree with you definitely on Pittsburgh, mostly on Colorado. I do think Dallas, I still think there's something budding there.
Are you saying that because of what we reference with the 2-2 and Robitaille? I mean, those are obviously different teams.
Well,
like those players are retired, so you have different groups now.
There haven't been a whole lot of epic Pred Stars battles over the years. Let's be honest about that. Like, last year was the first time that they played each other in the playoffs. They've been in the Western Conference together forever, and they had not played each other in the playoffs until last season.
Yeah.
And, yes, there have been instances. Yeah, we want to bring up the 2-2 and Robitaille incident.
I think,
but how many current Preds fans remember that and have that memory stick out?
Sure.
When you think Preds Stars, you think of
2-2
Robitaille.
Yeah. I think I look at it as a rivalry because back then the teams were, and they're pretty even now, but they weren't the Stanley Cup contenders. Dallas had already made their run. They had already won the cup, and they had kind of come back to earth. Nashville was building. Nashville had just gotten into the fray of, okay, we're a playoff franchise now. Now how far can we go? So I think they were kind of in the middle of the pack. And so you liked those matchups because they were fighting for those spots, basically to play Detroit in the first round of the playoffs. So maybe that's why I look at it that way. But I still, you know, because I've been a fan since then. So I still look back on that. And then the playoff series, I'd love to see them again in the playoffs.
I think
there's unfinished business.
I thought last postseason would have had a little bit more fuel on that fire if Ryan Hartman was still on the team. Because if you remember last February, Ryan Hartman and Anton Khudobin had their little and if the Preds had not traded Ryan Hartman at the deadline and they had him on that roster, I think that would have added a little bit to it. But I do think it has been a build this calendar year up until this moment in which they turn the calendar and play the Winter Classic on the first day of 2020. I do think this calendar year it has been budding throughout the calendar year up until this point because of the Winter Classic. But before the calendar year of 2019, I wouldn't even consider Dallas in the top five in terms of rivals for the Nashville Predators, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think it's a fair argument, but it's a fun one because this team, and one day we'll get past this, one day we won't say this anymore, but this team is still relatively young. I mean, they just are. I mean, they're less than 25 years old. And so looking at their history, you just don't have a lot of those epic matchups. Detroit was always the one by default because you had the GM plant, so you had Pred Wing fans, and that was the first playoff matchup, and so you never forget that. And then finally breaking through, and after, you know, the year they beat Anaheim, and then the next year they beat Detroit in the first round, and that was kind of the changing of the guard. So you'll always have that one. Chicago makes sense because not too far apart. Central Division matchup, have had some great playoff battles. So there are some that you're like, all right, for sure. And then Anaheim, of course. But they just haven't had a lot of those epic battles in their history. They're still adding to that. So that's one reason why I throw Dallas in there too. But it's one of my favorite arguments to have of the rivalries of, oh, yeah, well, they played a really tough game against the Boston Bruins. That's a budding rivalry. No, it's not. I can't stand when people do that. Like, you have to have some meat on the bone to call it a rivalry.
I would agree with you, and I do think that meat is growing on the bone.
Sure.
I don't think it's fully there yet between the Preds and Stars, and maybe after New Year's Day, we have a different perspective on it. But as we sit here in the middle of December, I would say it's not, for the Preds, it's not what Mike Hajka described it for the Stars.
Yeah, I agree. Real quick. Is Radulov still a thing? Is that still a factor for Preds fans? It kind of is for me, but again, I was a big-time fan, you know, back in those days.
I mean, we're talking 7.5 years ago.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time since Alexander Radulov, that's not fresh anymore.
No.
When he came back with Shea Weber, when he was with Montreal, I think that still was a thing.
Sure.
But they've played Radulov enough over the last handful of years where I would say
I'm sure there's a lot of fans that don't even remember he played here.
I think that is a secondary or even, you know, tertiary level storyline of what could be a really good rivalry between the Preds and the Stars. I don't think that's, you know, the center point of something.
All right, so enough of our bickering. When we come back here on the road to Dallas, if you missed the conversation we had with Derek King about how the ice gets made for the Cotton Bowl, they have started that process. We will talk to him next. It is the road to Dallas, the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic, brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service on ESPN 102.5 The Game.